You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Decorating yesterday, and I'm paying the price for it. I only have one ear.
Welcome to my house. My house.
And and I couldn't get on the air. So good Tuesday morning to you here on obviously a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for the All Warrior Radio Network. The I exchanged emails with a number of people yesterday about a couple different stories. One in the Wall Street Journal that I can't get to come up about a Marine not going back to Afghanistan. A Marine officer. So if anybody has that article, if you can send it to me in long format, for whatever reason, other people can get it and open it, but whenever I try to open it, I go straight to yeah, you want to buy the Wall Street Journal? Have at it. The article is entitled, "The Bravest Thing Colonel Randy Hoffman Ever Did Was to Stop Fighting." And this is in the Wall Street Journal. Enmeshed. Well, there's the article. I don't know now why can I do it. So anyway, never mind. I'll read that. the next thing I exchanged emails with people about was the whole white power, right, thing. And look, I don't know, as I said yesterday, if it's true, okay, and I don't know that. But you know what? I got cured a long time ago in believing in coincidence or just stupidity, okay? And when you deal with the academies, I mean, they just had that kid that they threw out of the army for wearing a Che Guevara T-shirt, right, underneath his tunic at his West Point graduation, then taking pictures with his tunic open, right, with Che Guevara T-shirt on. You know, so it's just clearly, like, fucked up. So, again, I don't know what's true, right? Ohio man said you've never heard of the game, that game, you know, where you make the okay sign, right? And if somebody looks at it, you get to punch him in the shoulder. And I said, never. Never in my life. And I've lived all around this country. I've lived in North Dakota. I've lived in California. I've lived in Virginia. I've lived in Kentucky. Right? I've lived all over the country. Been in the Marine Corps since 1983. Never heard of that game. Now, I've heard of other games like it. A game that I've heard called No Slugs, which is if you don't call No Slugs before you fart, right, then everybody that can get to you within the count of three gets to punch you in the shoulder. And when they punch you, they have to not only punch you, but they have to wipe it off. And if you wipe it off before they wipe it off, you get to punch them back. Okay, so it's not that I'm ignorant to stupid games, okay? I'm not. But again, I don't believe in coincidence. As I say on this program, the Iraqis cured me of that. Yeah, you think it's a coincidence? Well, it's not. The reason you saw it was because we intended it to. We intended for you to see it. So anyhow, again, they will investigate. It will be what it is, okay? And if it is just the fact that it's people that watch social media like a hawk, that when somebody does something, they go back into their Twitter account 9 years ago and make them apologize for calling a friend, you know, whatever they called them, right? Whatever homophobic slur they called it, or whatever they can find, right, to invalidate, whether it be a Heisman Trophy or whatever stupid nonsense you can go back into somebody's life and dig up to embarrass them and somehow invalidate, right, what they're doing today. So if that's what it is, then it will get treated with all the seriousness that stuff deserves to be treated with, right? If on the other hand it's not, then, right, then you make a statement by banishing them. Go away, Simba. Run away. Don't ever come back. So anyway, I just think the worst part of the whole thing, you know, is if it's just a ruse, right, tarnishes the great game that it was and kind of the great event that it was. So that's the tragedy. But I'll tell you what, the other lesson here is, especially for young leaders, is this. Be careful in public. What you do when you have that uniform on, when you're in public, especially when you're part of something pretty high profile, is you should pay attention to it. Because people are going to record what you say, record what you do, and just understand this, nothing is off the record. So anyway, we will see what happens. And so I got an education on the, if you look at this, I can punch you yesterday. So we'll see what it is. The other thing I wanted to talk about is the I had a couple people, one called and then one emailed me about the whole idea that generals, and it was part of the discussion with Alex Hollings yesterday, but the whole idea that generals somehow or other can be the saviors of the democracy. And so it's an interesting discussion, both of them said. And they said, you know, your premises in this triangle are that, one, politicians are liars, and that's what they will be. And both of them said, historically, you could validate that. The second part of the triangle is the electorate is largely unconcerned. That given all the hoopla, you know, that you see on 24/7 cable news coverage, that the vast majority of Americans don't pay attention to that. They are going about living their life, right? What are they concerned with now? Christmas. They're concerned with Christmas now, right? And so there's a small percentage of the population that is riveted on the news of the day. But by and large, the American people, like, they're as concerned about that as they are with the war in Afghanistan and other things, which is not very. Doesn't impact their life. I'm concerned about me. I'm concerned about my life. I'm concerned about my welfare. So, anyhow, both emails went on to cite it puts general officers in a unique situation. But of general officers, who are we talking about? So that was one question. Which general officers are we talking about? Well, to me, when you look at Tommy Franks's conduct, right? And Franks stands under the white-hot spotlight of history as commander of CENTCOM. Now, here's my question, though. Well, why isn't Richard Meier? Yeah, you're like, who? Who's Richard Meier? Richard Meier is the chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff. From 2001 to 2005. Gets installed on October 1st of 2005. Of 2001. So he is, he presides over what we do in Afghanistan. He presides over, does he have no, you never hear Meyer's name mentioned. How about the chairman during the expansion of the ground war in Afghanistan? Myers, Pete Pace, Michael Mullen, Martin Dempsey. So, and then Dunford. But to me, the guys at the start are the ones that preside over the strategy, and those are the ones that have, in my opinion, the highest duty to. If we're going to embark on an endeavor, then it's got to be done according to the Marcus of Queensberry rules. And the Marcus of Queensberry's rules say that you have to have an end state articulated for you as a leader before you go. And if you don't have that end state articulated for you, then you don't go. That's the seminal lesson of Vietnam. And that mission, once articulated, has got to be something the military is capable of. And so if you look at that, then, okay, so that those are the people that stand at the crossroads as leaders. And I would say they are the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. It is the combatant commander, like CENTCOM, right? Indo-PACOM, that dude, or woman, whoever, one of those people is in a position to say no. Now, the problem is they never do. They never do. Rarely do they. And again, one notable example is General Mattis being asked to go home early by the Obama administration because they didn't like his stances on Korea. So that's one notable exception of a combatant commander who was adamant about what he believed would not back down. So to me, those are the people that I'm talking about. So what's the standard everybody else should be held to? The standard should be simply the truth. What's the truth? The coin of the realm is the truth. So as I thought about it last night after the emails and phone call, those are the things that I thought about. And as I sat down and started reading more about neoconservatives, blah, blah, blah. So to me, when I think about that triangle, which is, you know, the elected, you know, Alex was talking about yesterday that, you know, the voters have to elect better people. But again, politicians are politicians, man. Their horizon is getting reelected. So they tend to, you know, rarely deal in the truth, which is problematic. And then after that, right? So voters disinterested, right? Well, I won't say they are selectively interested, right? When something gets their attention, which is the nature of being a voter. So, you know, it's left to the people that swore an oath to not be politicians. And that's, I think, the problem. General officers and flag officers of the United States military cannot become politicians. They have to be faithful to the lessons of Vietnam. And the lessons of Vietnam are it's got to be within the realm of the United States military. And it's got to be truthfully articulated to the American people. And so what it would have looked like in Afghanistan was, can we provide a secure environment for which, inside of which, you can go about nation building? Yes, we can do that. Who's responsible for the nation building? Is the DOD, which essentially it's become? That needs to be clearly articulated. And if the DOD says, sorry, we don't really do that, then who is it going to be? Who's going to preside over this potential catastrophe that we're going to light off on the planet? And those are the things that have to be, right, asked. Because if not, so what Tim Lynch was saying last week was, you know, what you're describing is, look, we want to go play. We practiced for years and years. I'm a general. I want to go command this shit in action, so let's go do it. That can't be. Come on. You're talking about real human beings with real lives that are going to die because of this. Because we want to go play? Come on. We're not better than that. They don't take their job more seriously than that. And if they don't, then that is the national crisis. The inability of those to go ahead and to those leaders to go ahead and articulately and truthfully execute their duties. So anyway, I just wanted to kind of draw, you know, the triangle for myself. And I don't expect anything from the politicians. I expect the voter to be selectively involved, and then the general officers, what role do they play in? They have to be faithful to the lessons of Vietnam. They have to be faithful to those lessons. And then that's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. That's the COCOMs. Everybody else got to tell the truth. And they've got to tell the truth relative to the strategy. And so when they get asked a question, they cannot be afraid. They cannot become politicians. They cannot defend the administration. They have to say, this is their strategy. Has it been articulated to me? This is what I see. Okay. Now, I don't have a problem with somebody being optimistic. I believe this. I believe that. I think we're doing the right thing. I think this is. But I do. When is optimism a lie? When it doesn't coincide with the truth. So it's got to be about the truth. And so what we're talking about here is the inability or the lack of desire to tell the truth. And if you look around the world, you know, look what happens because of it. Look what happens because of it. So anyway, a topic that's dominated the program. And you know what? You're going to hear more of it. I'm looking to have a couple people on that'll talk about the German military and their compromises, their ethical compromises that results in 6 million innocent people being exterminated from the planet. And that you enable that. That you enable that. And then, and there's one other guy I want to have on. So anyway, good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps band makes this morning official. Good morning. Both ears now, so I can function now. I am a human being. This is dedicated to Jack Riley, who I was listening to an interview that I might play this week. Maybe my all-time favorite interview is the interview I did with Jack Riley about coming home from Vietnam for a lot of different reasons. First of all, he's a hero of mine. He and Bob Nielsen, to me, are examples of what Semper Fidelis it looks like in somebody's life, that they never, right, they never, ever forget, you know, that those Marines were my Marines, and they'll always be my Marines. And they live their life like that. And so I draw great inspiration. But I was listening to the interview I did a couple months ago with Jack Riley, and it's awesome. So you might hear that this week. And you will hear it too. And what I want to inspire you to do during Christmas is give more. Find a way to give more in your community. I don't care whether it's volunteer, whether it's give people rides or deliver meals or do something. Give more. That's what Christmas is about, the spirit of giving. Right? Teach your grandkids that. Teach your kids that. Right? Do something that teaches giving. All right? So this is the first time you'll hear this one. I've cut up. I think that this is a little bit too long. So what I'll do is I create what's called a rotator where you, instead of hearing all those segments in the same day, and there's a few others that I'll add to the mix that I like, you'll hear a shorter version of it. So this dedicated to Jack Riley. Whose interview I love, most recent one. And, what are we? 7 days and a wake up before Christmas.
We have fought in every fight. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
When the danger is perceptible and the cost of acting are low, the failure to act guarantees that the threat will grow and the ultimate cost will be higher. Every day that goes by makes North Korea a more dangerous country. You don't like their behavior today? What do you think it'll be when they have nuclear weapons that can be delivered to American cities? Do you want to wait till then to act, or do you want to act now?
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
That was John Bolton quoting Winston Churchill. I think, but I can't find the Churchill quote. So if anybody can find the Churchill quote, would you send me the reference to the Churchill quote, and I'll play that quote for you again. We'll take a look at the weather. You know what? I have to tell you, my new supercomputer that I built over the weekend, the Kraken, as it's known. Yeah, because the thing's a beast. I love that thing. Anyway. It actually didn't. It wasn't a full rebuild. It was a case, motherboard, CPU, RAM, and then all the other components from my old computer. Yeah. If you want me to consult on your computer, let me know. Because let me tell you, things legit. Quantico's got 3 weather alerts. It's foggy and 40 there right now. So, because it breaks 3, one's a small craft advisory. Special weather statement until noon on Tuesday, December 17th. And a second special weather statement there. So, what's the special weather statement? Patchy dense fog around the region. A lull in rainfall has led to areas of fog across much of the forecasted area, some of which is locally dense, with visibilities near a quarter mile. That's pretty good visibility. Yeah, do you want to know? Coming from Sacramento, where fog is like crazy. Cloudy in 69 down at Camp Lejeune, so pretty nice weather in North Carolina. 29 Palms. Sunny and 40 degrees. How about that? You know when the high desert in California gets into the 30s, man, it's cold. Camp Pendleton at the air station, it is partly sunny and 52. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, cloudy, and 72, so they've warmed up. Okinawa, dark, clear, 67. In the Helmand province of Lashkar Gah, it remains cool, dark, cloudy, and 55 in Lashkar Gah. And in Ramadi, early in the evening, it is clear, dark, and 57 degrees at the home of All Marine Radio here in beautiful Costa Mesa, California. Excuse me. It is partly cloudy and 58 degrees, looking for a high of 69 degrees today, and 65 tomorrow, 67 on Thursday. Now, I have a home question for all you smart home people out there. I cleaned windows for the first time, I think, since I've lived here. I said that yesterday, but let me give you, so how do you do, okay, hold on, let me write this down. Windows, insulation, let me play that. Now this is the Bolton quote. All right, so if you know, if this is a Churchill quote, right, if this is a Churchill quote, these are the lessons of World Wars One and Two rolled all together. Okay? This is why we have a large standing military that deters aggression. Right? This is why the United States has promoted a rules-based society around the world. Okay? This is why.
When the danger is perceptible and the cost of acting are low, the failure to act guarantees that the threat will grow and the ultimate cost will be higher. Every day that goes by makes North Korea a more dangerous country. If you don't like their behavior today, what do you think it'll be when they have nuclear weapons that can be delivered to American cities? You want to wait?
All right. Now, I want you to, the first part, and think of the Treaty of Versailles, right? Europe in the 30s, the mid-30s, when Hitler, you know, annexes the Sudetenland. Then he does Czechoslovakia and Poland, right? And the Allies sit there and they watch the whole thing. Okay? So, listen, now, is this a Churchill quote?
When the danger is perceptible. And
right? Germany rearming, Germany marching around, acting crazy, right? Mid to late 30s.
Cost of acting are low.
Right? And you would have lost thousands of people. And when you didn't act, you lost 5% of the world's population, estimated between 70 and 80 million people.
The failure to act guarantees that the threat will grow and the ultimate cost will be higher.
Okay, now, if that's a Churchill quote, I couldn't find it. So if somebody knows, I would appreciate that. Okay, now, a couple other points. Cleaning windows, okay, is kind of a art. It's actually probably more science than art, but what do you use to clean windows? Now, here's what I did. I cleaned them using Windex, and they were streaked. They were horrible. And so then I did a little research. So then I used water and vinegar, and that helped. And then when I had my windshield redone by Alex, the guy from Kyrgyzstan who fought with the Soviet Army in Kabul in the 80s, anyway, Alex pulls out this stuff that they use on windshields. And I said, why do you use that? And he said, it never leaves streaks. And I went, oh. And he's right, it doesn't. So after I used the oil, the water, oil and vinegar, after I used the water and vinegar, I then got out Alex's little concoction, kind of like the finishing, you know, layer. And my windows look great. But is there any trick to doing windows? Do you not use paper towels? You know, the stuff I saw online said use a, like one of those things you use on your TV. But anyway, so I just thought I'd ask that. Now, here's my other question. I live in California, Southern California. The building codes, when this house was built, did not require a great amount of insulation. As a result, there's three sliding doors in the house. And when it gets cold, you saw it was 40 in 29 Palms right now. That's the current temperature in 29 Palms. So when it gets down into the low 50s here, I mean, it's cold. And again, my kids will tell you the same thing. We lived in North Dakota, right? I know what cold is. And I don't know if it's the moisture in the air or what, but it feels cold here. Well, what happens is even set at 68, my thermostat is on most of the night. Burning gas. Exactly. Oh, shit. So, how do I insulate sliding doors? Now, I've read curtains, but most window coverings and sliding door coverings aren't like that. And so, what do you do? Do I cover the sliding doors with insulation from the outside to attempt to not have my gas running all winter long because those glass doors, you know, are just, I mean, they tend to be like heat suckers, right? Because they're so cold. Do I insulate them somehow? Does anybody have a trick for that? So my gas bill isn't high all winter. So Anyway, that's my question. Shithole Weather. I should have a separate song for Shithole Weather. The Chris. Let me tell you, if you put Chris's weight loss techniques, his quality assurance stuff to use, it works. Yeah. Trust me. I'm using his quality assurance stuff. Right. Works. Anyway, he's up back at Wachusett's Mountain in Princeton, Massachusetts. I don't know if he's skiing again, but that's where he was when he was skiing last week. 22 degrees, looking for a high of 28. Then going into a deep freeze. Snowing. Stand by for a summit update. So I guess he's going to send it while he's skiing. Winds are out of the northeast at 8 miles an hour. And my favorite part, a couple of pictures. One of the American flag hanging off a tree on a rural road in Massachusetts. And the other is of his gear to go skiing. He looks like a race car driver, man. He's got his boots in front of a fire, along with his helmet and his gloves. Nice! So Chris is going... Chris is going skiing. And again, that's Chris. Used to weigh 500 pounds. Last shot of his scale I saw was 238. How incredible is that? Yep. And you know what? One of the things he says is, he said, you know, he said he started listening to All Marine Radio. He said it reconnected me with our culture. He said, and really myself. Like, I remembered who I was. Pretty cool stuff. Anyway, First Sergeant Wayne. He's a North Carolina dude. Hickory, North Carolina. He also says, I'm a Chris from Webster wannabe. 59 degrees with rain all day. A high of 62, dropping to 30 overnight. Farmer's Almanac is calling for rainy weather. And the Farmer's Almanac is not wrong very often. And here's a picture of... he opened his car door and took a picture of the ground. That's awesome. Actually, it's on his car door. Looks like the back of a truck. Anyway, raining in North Carolina. That's awesome. Here's a picture from the top of a mountain in Massachusetts where Chris is skiing. They're not really, they don't have mountains in Massachusetts, okay? So, coming from a place where we have the Sierra Nevadas, those little hills in Massachusetts, come on, man. Happy Tuesday, Mac, from Beb in Saskatchewan. Another roller coaster weather day to enjoy thanks to yesterday's high of 19 degrees above zero. Snow fell last night as cold air moved in. Currently, Church Bridge has a northeast wind of 6 miles an hour under clear skies and a temperature of 17 below. Wind chill sits at 26 below. This afternoon, a mix of clouds and sun. Southeast winds at 3 and a high of 2 degrees below zero. Then in parentheses, little did I know when the Guatemalan family moved in next door 6 years ago, I showed Randolfo how to operate my snowblower that I would need to depend on him. Randolfo, and then there's a picture of Randolfo out there. Can you imagine Guatemala to Saskatchewan? Probably, guy's probably a farmer, right? Yeah, I'll go up there and farm. Wah, 27 below. Nice. Nancy? Hi, Mac. A light wintry mix coming down here in Pleasantville. Accumulated less than an inch. Ice less than 1/10 of an inch. 31 degrees up to 34 down to 22 overnight. Winds out of the north-northwest at 7 to 10. Erie has copied us again. And here's a picture of, this is the picture from the charter school camera that Nancy just sent me, is what you'd expect Pennsylvania to look like. Rolling hills, right? Pine trees, and snow. I should publish all the shithole weather pictures, don't you think? Upload those into a montage so you can check them out. All right, if I remember to do that, I will do that. And from Big Dave in Vacaville. Dave likes to send pictures of the American flag, which I'm a fan of. Good morning, Mac. Today's weather in beautiful Vacaville, California is currently 44 degrees. Cloudy, winds out of the north-northeast at 6 to 9 miles an hour. High of 54 expected today. So that's cold in Vacaville, man, 54. And a picture of the American flag near a park. So, anyway, why does beautiful Vacaville, California, that stuff makes me laugh, honestly. Because people are proud of their hometown, right? No, Grand Forks, North Dakota, the home of cream of wheat. What? The home of what? Yeah, Sacramento, the home of Campbell's tomato soup. What? Are you kidding me? Yeah, and the Camellia Bowl, don't you know? Anyway. No, I think that's just hilarious. Every town's got something like that, too. That's where the whole shithole weather thing comes from. No, come on. I've been to Tucson. It's a shithole. You know it. We know it. Everybody knows it. All right. This is from First Sergeant. First Sergeant Wayne. The so-called white power symbol is wrong. Unless they hijacked it. It's a game that's been around since the 80s. One person flashes the OK sign, and if the person looks at you, you get to punch them in the arm. I played it as a kid. My kids played it when they were kids, and I see my nephew playing it now. First Sergeant Wayne. People said that, right? And if that's the case, and this is just hysteria, right, from assholes, then so be it. But again, I've been cured of assuming that that's what it is. Now, and again, I fervently hope that that's what it is, right? Because I don't want to believe the other thing. But I've seen too much of that bullshit, right? And to know that, to have confidence that, yeah, that's what they meant. Oh, really? Are you that naive? So again, I hate that that's the world that we live in, but I didn't make up the rules, man. I'm just down here playing by them. So I don't believe in coincidence. And I don't believe in dismissing it because I believe in doing what West Point and Annapolis is doing, which is take the pictures, get them in here, ask them, what does this mean? What is this about? And if it's like, oh, we play this game, and that's what they say, then that's what it is. And then the people that projected that on them, shame on them, right? But again, the lesson for those young cadets is this. People watch what you do. Be careful of what you do. That thing that you do is also associated with that. So you might want to play a different game when you're out in public, right? In the privacy of your own dormitory and whatnot, you want to play that stupid game, that's fine. Know this, you represent the United States Army or the United States Navy. When you go out, being part of West Point or Annapolis, you're part of an elite group of people. And you need to be mindful of that. And that's not a bad lesson to learn at the end of the day. So, anyway, I have to say this. I don't normally comment on the impeachment thing, but I will say this. I saw Mitch McConnell this morning speaking from the floor of the Senate. And he was taking Chuck Schumer to task. Now, Senator McConnell said the same rules that applied to President Clinton ought to be invoked as we look at President Trump, which sounds reasonable to me, right? And then there's a whole series of quotes from then Senator Schumer. And it's honestly, it's laughable. The statements and the letter that Schumer wrote relative to what the Senate did when they took up the impeachment of President Clinton. And so the problem is if they use the same system they used for President Clinton with a Republican-controlled Senate, the thing will never, ever see the Senate floor. So, but it was a piece of comedy. If you get a chance, watch it. It's a piece of comedy as, you know, there's nothing, I always say this, there's nothing that goes down harder than your own words. Who said that? You did. Oh, I hate that. And it was pretty funny. So, and you know, let me tell you this. People get crazy about Donald Trump. Donald Trump does the same things that Clinton did, right? He might even be a greasier version of the Clintons, if that's hard to imagine, okay? But they're the same group. And if you look at videotape from Nancy Pelosi defending Bill Clinton, who perjured himself under oath, which is the only way you actually perjure yourself, if you look at her statements, It's just political reindeer games. It's not about the truth. It's politics, which embraces anything but the truth. So anyway, but if you get a chance to watch the long version of Senator McConnell's statement this morning, watch it. You'll get a laugh out of it. And again, it just exposes, in my opinion, the hypocritical nature of politicians. And they just go and they do what the president does, which is just go out and just go fight today. Don't worry about yesterday. Don't forget about yesterday. Just go fight today. It doesn't matter what you said in the past. The only thing that matters is today's soundbite, which is the world that we live in, which is really the one he's dominated. So anyway, more Balmering Radio. We'll check the news. And then I want to play for you. I want to play Jack Riley's interview, but I'm not going to do that today because I think you should hear General Mattis. In his conversation with David Ignatius. So it runs about an hour. So we'll check the news, then you'll hear General Mattis here on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio. And he gets asked about the Afghan papers and says a number of really interesting things about, you know, his role in Afghanistan and the disconnect. Now, mind you, Mattis takes over, but the strategy is already cast. Okay, and so to me, when you find yourself standing at the intersection of history, as Tommy Franks did, as a guy who you don't even hear his name, Richard Myers, was chairman of the Joint Chiefs. What Myers? He didn't say, "Hey, look, I know I'm an Air Force dude and all that, but I understand that the lessons of Vietnam are such that." You have to articulate for both of us what phase four looks like, or I can't rightly go along with this. Where was Myers? Right? No, whatever. We'll get to that. Right? Anyway, more Balmering Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world, leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk you through a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting.
8:55 here on a Tuesday, a week and a wake-up to Christmas. That's right. Unless you're one of those crazy families that open their presents on Christmas Eve. I'm not really sure what that's about, but whatever. All right. So how do you get your windows clean? Uh-oh. Randolfo, who lives in Saskatchewan, whose Bev's neighbor is not a farmer. He's a welder by trade. Kind of makes him a farmer, right? Repairs farm stuff. He worked at the Naval Shipyard in Pensacola, where he learned English. Currently, he's working for a Winnipeg company that builds elevators, etc. on the prairies. There you have it. An update on Randolfo from living in Churchbridge, Saskatchewan. And he'll never know. That's sad. Alright, so, from Stars and Stripes, most South Koreans support an alliance with the United States, but not sharp increases in cost sharing, the polls show. A new poll showed that most South Koreans support the alliance with the United States, but reject U.S. demands for a fivefold increase in spending. Negotiators are struggling to bridge the gap. The South box at U.S. demands for nearly $5 billion annually in return for stationing 28,500 troops on the divided peninsula. Last year, Seoul paid $920 million. How about that? You get the Trump card on your peninsula for less than $1 billion. You know, and again, we funded the security of the world. The American taxpayer has. And the South Koreans are like, yeah, we're not for that. We don't really want to pay for our own defense. Why should Americans be more interested in your defense than you are? Riddle me that, Batman. Why? Because I don't understand. But you see that all over the world. And it's just, in my opinion, it's just amazing. Why is the American taxpayer more interested in your freedom than you are? I don't rightly know. And it shouldn't be that way, but it is. It's a recurring story. Here's another amazing story. The United States Army, the command that put out the commemorative social media posts, have had to apologize. The quote, "The intent was to tell the full story of the Battle of the Bulge, which will continue here, by explaining the incredible odds that were stacked up against the American soldier by the time the reserve was called in on 18 December. The 18th Airborne Corps tweeted on Tuesday, the day after one of their posts sparked outrage on social media." Right? And what they did was, on the Facebook page, of the DOD and the 10th Mountain Division, right? They posted, they're talking about the Battle of the Bulge. And they use a picture of Joachim Peiper, who commands the SS division that commits the Malmedy massacre. And they pump his picture out. You don't see, like, what? Yeah. And so, come on, it's, you can't make it up, man, right? You can't make it up. And like, so when you look at the person who used the picture, you're like, do you know anything about that black uniform? See the SS things that look like the SS and KISS? Yeah. Do you know what that means? SS. No, he's just a German guy, right? No, not all Germans were created equally, okay? What did Thoreau say, right? The unexamined life is not worth living. Think about it. The House votes on a $1.4 trillion federal spending bill. Democratic-controlled House was voting today on a $1.4 trillion government-wide spending package with an unusually large load of unrelated provisions on the must-do legislation. The spending bill is 2,300 pages long. Unveiled Monday as lawmakers prepared to wrap up reams of unfinished work. And right, God only knows what's in that thing, right? The spending legislation would forestall a government shutdown this weekend and give President Trump steady funding for the U.S.-Mexico border fence. The mammoth measure made public yesterday takes a split-the-difference approach that's a product of divided power in Washington, offering lawmakers of all stripes plenty to vote for and against. The White House said today that the president will sign the measure. A couple of interesting things in the bill. Retired coal miners and business and labor union opponents of Obama-era taxes on high-cost health plans came away with big wins in a weekend of negotiations by top congressional leaders with the Trump White House. The bill would also increase the age nationwide for purchasing tobacco products from 18 to 21 and offers business-friendly provisions on export financing, flood insurance, and immigrant workers. The roster of add-ons grew over the weekend to include permanent repeal of a tax on high-cost Cadillac health care insurance benefits and a hard-won provision to finance health care and pension benefits for about 100,000 retired union coal miners threatened by insolvency of their pension fund. A tax on medical devices and health insurance plan would also be repealed permanently. So, I guess this is the way it used to be, right? This is the way it used to be. So, what they call them, omnibus spending packages, where they just had everything in there. But it was designed to have enough that you wanted and some stuff you didn't that you went along with it, right? That's the way it used to be before we did government shutdowns and things like that. Story from Pearl Harbor. Army divers use World War II era gear for internment of USS Arizona crew member. So what you see is I had this suit for my G.I. Joe in the 60s, but it's got the big round metal head, right? With the vision blocks that you can open, right? That are a different color in the front, on the sides, and on kind of the top crescent, if you would look up. That, remember that suit, right? It's got the big neck plate and metal neck plate, and it's, that thing comes over the shoulders and down to the sternum, right? That thing. Yeah, that's what they went. That's what they did the internment with. Two Army divers gave a unique World War II send-off to a USS Arizona crew member, Lauren Bruner, when his ashes were interred on the sunken battleship this month. The divers with the 7th Engineer Dive Detachment donned vintage Mark V hard hats, the only two still certified for use, and lead boots that, along with his suit, weighed over 200 pounds, to walk across the deck of the sunken battleship and descend 22 feet into gun turret number 4 to carefully place Bruner's ashes in one of the deepest spots in the wreckage from December 7th. On the 78th anniversary of the attack. Dozens, if not hundreds, of divers wore very similar gear in the salvage of the damaged ship in Pearl Harbor during the war. Bruner, who escaped a fiery death by climbing hand over hand across a rope 70 feet above the harbor on December 7th, died on September 10th. Of 2019 at the age of 98. Just 3 USS Arizona crew members remain alive today, and they have indicated they want to be buried in family graveyards, meaning Bruner likely will be the last ever to be interred on the famed battleship. More than 900 men remained entombed on the ship from the huge explosion and the fireball that engulfed it 78 years ago. Bruner is the 44th survivor to be interred on the ship since 1982. So, yeah, very cool. There's a whole gallery of pictures of the dive itself. So, cool stuff. Fleet update, right? The fleet tracker. The Nimitz is off the coast of Seattle. The Theodore Roosevelt is off the coast of Southern California. The Iwo Jima is off, and the USS Bataan, that amphibious ready group, is off the coast of North Carolina.
The Harry Truman is going through the Red Sea. The Lincoln is in the North Arabian Sea. The amphibious ready group that has the USS America as part of it, the 31st MEU, I believe, is in Sasebo. And the USS Ronald Reagan is in Yokosuka. There's your fleet update, you Navy people. Coast Guard, according to the Coast Guard, a Russian surveillance ship is operating in an unsafe manner off the East Coast. Well, that's how the Russians do it. Quote, the U.S. Coast Guard has received reports indicating that the RFN, I don't know what that means, Russian Federation Navy, Viktor Leonov, has been operating in an unsafe manner off the coast of South Carolina and Georgia. The unsafe operations include not energizing running lights while in reduced visibility conditions, not responding to hails by commercial vessels attempting to coordinate safe passage, and other erratic movements. The notice went on to advise mariners to maintain a sharp lookout and use extreme caution when navigating in proximity to the Russians. They're probably drunk, truth be told. It's not like they mean to do that stuff. Those guys get hammered and then do stupid stuff. Another story in USNI News by Megan Eckstein. We like Megan. Never met her. Yeah, I think I did meet her in Quantico. Naval integration drive shaping acquisition of marine unmanned drone known as the MUX. Okay. As the Navy and Marines continue to highlight close naval integration, the interconnectedness of the two services has moved beyond concepts and doctrine and is spilling into acquisition decisions being made. The Navy and the Marine Corps both recognize that their futures are intertwined, and the Marine Corps expecting to use the sea as maneuver space and require greater inter-theater lift from the Navy. With adversaries growing more lethal, the Navy has recognized it will need the Marine Corps to help neutralize enemy radars and weapons ashore to give U.S. ships continued freedom of navigation. Since 2016, the Marine Corps has been working on a large Group 5 unmanned aerial system called the MUX, standing for Marine Unmanned Expeditionary, MUX. All right, the Marine Corps wants this capability to help fill a specific gap in its sea-based aviation capability. It would have helicopters and tilt rotors for lift, and would have the F-35B Joint Strike Fighter for strike and data collection, but it needed an advanced early and warning and electronic warfare platform to round out a carrier air wing-like capability. Though the Navy didn't have plans for a Group 5 UAS, the Marine Corps from the start ensured the future integration would be possible by requiring MUX fit into the hangar on a destroyer. Lieutenant General Eric Smith, who's head of MCCITIC now, said that naval integration has gone much deeper recently, though, the two services have tightened their bond. We have to do this together. We're talking about while the Navy is working on future vertical lift, and that is kind of foremost in their priority group right now. We start moving towards MUX, what it is, what it is not, what it has to do, and mostly in terms of electronic warfare. It's not a cargo hauler. One of the requirements is it has to lift on a hangar of a destroyer. So before we make big decisions, we have to confer with the Navy to make sure we don't go down a dead end where the Navy says, look, 2 years ago, you took a turn right. I can't go there with you anymore. If you had only asked. So we're going through the asking on every decision. So anyway, the MUX, electronic warfare package. Whoa. In this latest bill, right, 4,000 more Afghan interpreters could get special immigration visas thanks to this defense bill. An additional 4,000 Afghan interpreters who helped U.S. troops in Afghanistan
could receive special immigrant visas thanks to a provision included in the Defense Authorization Act the House passed this week. If that goes through, that means a total of 22,500 visas through the Special Immigrant Visa Program could be issued to former Afghan interpreters, up from 18,500 limit previously put in place. I think that's awesome. People that help us should be rewarded, and I don't think we should be chintzy about it. In a story that's concerning, because I love the Young Marine Program, I know guys that run it, I know guys who work in it, retired Sergeant Major and Young Marine Commander, same person, charged with child annoying or molesting in Oakland, California. Retired Sergeant Major Jason Deichman, 49 years old, pleaded not guilty to one count of annoying or molesting a child. Currently out on bail. Since 2010, he served as deputy with the Alameda, California County Sheriff's Office. Spent the last 6 years commanding the Golden Gate Young Marines. The alleged victim is a teenage girl. Court documents obtained by the San Jose Mercury News said the alleged victim told a detective about a time in June when Deichman allegedly gave her a back massage and unstrapped her bra. So, hopefully that's not true. Hopefully that's being made up. But we'll find out. Top five stories in Early Bird today. Number one, North Korea tests likely if they don't feel satisfied, according to Secretary of Defense Mark Esper. Number two, spending deal would avoid a shutdown and give $738 billion to defense. $738 billion, that's a lot of money. President wanted $750 billion, so he's going to have to suck it up for $12 billion. Number three, in Afghanistan, Senator Graham says U.S. troop drawdown is coming, that is supposed to be a conditions-based event. We'll see what people say about that. Number four, ambushed and wounded and fighting back, two pararescue men awarded Silver Stars for their heroism in Afghanistan. So two Air Force. Pararescue airmen are pictured here. Staff Sergeant David Swenson and Technical Sergeant Gavin Fisher, Technical Sergeant, Gunnery Sergeant, in Marine Corps terms, both with Special Warfare Training Squadron, were awarded the Silver Star, so congratulations to them. And number five, first female Army National Guard enlisted soldiers graduate from Ranger School. Now, mind you, Ranger School is not a Ranger unit. It's the school. So, it's different. Overseas operation. AFRICOM, 60th airstrike in Somalia this year, takes out a terrorist. Now, again, this is the false, you know, data, you know, like in Vietnam, that leads you to nothing. Right? So what? Is there, to what effect? Crickets. No more curfew for U.S. troops in South Korea. Next headline, 4,000 more Afghan interpreters will be allowed in the United States. We talked about that. Despite U.S. complaints, top NATO general says he's working closely with the European Union on military projects. Next headline, U.S. says it will not accept North Korea set deadlines on nuclear talks. Well, no kidding. From the Baltic to the Black Sea, Defender exercises go big with a hefty price tag. So, Kurdish commander calls on President Trump to prevent, quote, ethnic cleansing. Yeah, hot button term. Remember, the Kurds are the largest ethnic group on the planet without a piece of land. And it's not even close.
Google it. World's largest stateless, right? Yeah, and it's not even close. I was looking for the data that goes behind that. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear General Mattis. He sat down with David Ignatius and had about an hour-long conversation last week, and pretty interesting, as always. General Mattis, always interesting and thoughtful. And you're going to hear his discussion about the Afghan papers and other issues. Civility in discourse and in conduct when elections are over. So you're going to hear a whole variety of things that General Mattis talked about. And as always, he's always thought-provoking and always great to listen to. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my commanding unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends, these are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.